Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from the third chapter, very familiar verses that can be found in verses 1 through 15. Listen for the word of our Lord. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Oops, sorry, got three more verses. Page turned over. I was thinking I'm missing something there. And God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" Now, sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a great story that we know. It's one we probably, at least those of us who are perhaps us slightly over 50, have been watching during the Lenten season or the Easter week for most of our lives. This business of the beginning of the exodus of the people of God from Egypt. We love this story. It starts really with Moses being born, being hidden, and then finally being used as a surrogate kind of child for one of Pharaoh's daughters. Growing up in nobility, it is, in the Egyptian land. Unfortunately, things go awry in his life later on when he gets a little older. He finds out that he is not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He finds out what is going on and ends up not exactly making the change very smoothly, and he is out of Egypt. And he wanders into the wilderness, being sent out, and eventually shows up to help the daughters of who would become his father-in-law. Moses gets married. He becomes a shepherd. From being in the royal court of Pharaoh to becoming a shepherd is not really such a great job move up the ladder. Being a shepherd is hard. Sheep are not all they're looked out to be. They are not nice. They bite you. They like to bite you. They love to butt you. They run away. They do all sorts of things that make it hard to be a shepherd. They wander off at night and then yell like crazy when a wolf gets after them, and you got to get up and go fix it and take care of things. Being a shepherd wasn't great, but it seems like Moses is doing a pretty good job and everything is okay. And a number of years later, he is out doing his sheep herding. And suddenly, things change. Things change drastically and quickly. It's kind of one of those things that happens in life, right? You're cruising along, you've got everything down, and then all of a sudden here comes calculus. What the heck is calculus? And if you're like me, you're never going to get it, so you just try to figure out how you're going to get along in the world without ever doing any calculus and going around it somehow. And poor Moses is sitting there looking at this bush, and he is awed. This bush is burning, it is on fire, and yet it is not being consumed. Doesn't make much sense to us. So he, not being real bright, decides he needs to go check this out. It is God calling to him, say, get over here, I need to talk to you. But he doesn't know that yet, but he just can't resist God's invitation to enter into a holy space. Have you ever entered into a holy space? I know, sometimes we think that all churches are a holy space, and they are in some way, shape, or form. They are holy because they are here for a reason to worship God. We want this to be a house of God, although we don't really particularly want God living in here. He'd probably be kind of angry at some of the other things we do in here, like, you know, some of our fraternities doing installation services and things like that. The fact is, it is only holy when God shows up. Because the first thing that God says to Moses when he comes up the mountain is, says, stop, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now, why would God worry about somebody having shoes on? You know, there's rocks, maybe some thorns and thistles. The thing is, the shoes, the sandals that he is wearing are human sandals, made by humans. And where God goes, it's all where God has made it. You see, God makes things holy, truly making things, creating things that are holy. And Moses comes to this place and he begins to stand on it. You got to leave that part behind. When you come into a holy place with God, you have to leave behind everything else about being human. Everything that makes perfect sense to humanity or humans. You have to set that aside because you've entered into God's realm. God's realm of a holy place where what we think of as normal everyday life is no longer there. It is not. You see, God's creation is different from the creation we have made out of the earth. And that's what all of this has been about for eons. The fact that we are not standing on holy ground all of the time. Only in those certain moments, those certain times, when we truly are in the presence of God. Have you ever felt that holiness? Have you ever been in a place and all of a sudden you realize that everything is different? Several years ago, Reverend Dr. Joe McCutcheon was in the audience. Before he and his wife moved away, he used to worship here when he had a weekend off. And he sat there, and after we finished worship one day, he met me at the door, and he leaned over and whispered in my ear, because we had a very nice worship that kind of ended up with the Holy Spirit showing up. And he whispered in my ear, and he said, "Isn't it great when God shows up at worship?" And I laughed, and he laughed. And we both knew exactly what we were laughing about, because we do not ever expect God to show up at worship. We think we're going to do our little thing and walk out the door, and it's all going to be just the same. And that is exactly the wrong attitude to have when we come to worship God. We need to be Moses on that mountain, who could not resist coming close to God. And when God did, he fell down on his knees and God said, "Get them sandals off." Because this is a holy place made by me. Poor Moses. He didn't know that the worst part was yet to come. I'm not here just to say hi. I'm here to tell you what you're going to be doing now. You've got a job change coming. You're going to go to Egypt and do all of this. Moses wasn't real. He was great in the moment of being there with God, but he was not too scared to say, "Wait a minute. I'm not good at that. I don't think they don't like me there." God seemed to not miss a beat. And he tells him, "Yes, you will tell them that it is I am who I am, is here, sent me." And honestly, if you get diving into the Hebrew there, and there's lots of writings about this, there is 7 different ways to translate that. I am who I am, I will be who I will be, I have been who I will be. You can do it any different way. But the fact is, you tell them this: what I touch becomes holy. I have always been and I will always be the holy person that you need to be with you. And I'm sending this person to help you enter into a holy time. While Moses couldn't resist going to see that burning bush, he walked away with what he thought was an insurmountable mountain of work to do in front of him. That's about the way it works when you enter into the presence of God. Because God expects honking big things to be done. Not cleaning the sidewalks. Not washing the windows in the church. God expects his servants to go out and spread the good news and let everybody know how great it is to be in God's presence. We come to this table today to celebrate a very holy moment. A moment when our Lord Jesus ate dinner and passed the Spirit from himself to his disciples to go out into the world and do what God has called them to do. We should not come to this table glibly or just kind of halfway thinking about it. We should understand that now, in this, it is God's holy time. The table gets used for some other things from time to time, but now God makes it holy. For all of us. So as we go about remembering what has been done for us, remember to listen, for what God is calling you to do as we walk down the mountain. We give thanks to a Lord who thrills us, excites us, surprises us, and scares the crud out of us. Thanks be to God.